Hi, Jeff. So, we're continuing with our podcast reflections on your sermons. And this one we're looking at is the first of the disciplines, spiritual disciplines, which is abiding through prayer. So, just to remind us what you covered there, it's quite straightforward. You just said, what do we mean by abiding through prayer? And how do we do that? So that was pretty straightforward, but in terms of questions, but obviously actually moving into that and living that out has got some challenges. What do you think are the challenges for somebody really getting them into this discipline of prayer?
So I think it's firstly making sure that we frame prayer in the way that Jesus frames prayer.
Yeah.
So I made the point on Sunday that often when we think about prayer, we can kind of fall into two camps generally. The first is that we view prayer as transactional, which is a long impressive sounding word, but really just means that we're expecting something from God, and that's not wrong. And you know, Jesus invites us to pray in that way. You know, it says ask and you will receive. So in that sense, prayer is a transaction. But I think that, again, is the fruit of what prayer is really about rather than the main focus of what prayer is. The second thing we tend to think of prayer as is transformational, which is, you know, as we pray, we are changed, our heart changes, our perspective changes. And that's amazing, and that is absolutely true, and a really important facet of prayer as well. But when Jesus talks about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he frames it in the context of relationship. You know, he says to his disciples, when you pray, you know, go into your room and your father, you know, who is in secret will see what you do. And then he says, you know, pray our Father. And so he is first and foremost, before we get, you know, and even the Lord's Prayer in terms of the structure of the Lord's Prayer, it's only halfway down that you begin to kind of turn the tables and think about us, you know, and our needs. It's all out of who God is and our relationship with him. Which I think would have been just massive for the disciples hearing that, you know. And now, you know, with the full revelation of who Jesus is, it's awesome to think that he's inviting them to pray in the same way that he prays. He's inviting them to relate and commune with the Father in the same way that he does. And so when we see Jesus praying, you know, in the Gospels, which he does a lot, it's an example to us of how, you know, of how to pray, of the importance of prayer. You know, for Jesus, prayer was life. You know, Jesus only ever did what he saw the Father doing. So he was in constant, you know, we've talked about it in terms of abiding, but constant, you know, conscious communion with the Father through prayer. And so for us, when we think about, you know, your question was, what are the challenges for us doing it? First challenge is that we misunderstand what prayer is.
Yeah.
And that a lot of us see prayer as an activity that we do. And so that's why sometimes talking about like prayer as a discipline, you know, can be unhelpful, because we think negatively when we think about discipline. But rather than it being an activity that we just do before God, it's reframing it as a way that we engage with God, you know, or the way, you know, really, that we engage with God in dialogue, you know, conversation throughout our day.
Okay, so one of the things that was distinctive, because, you know, I did ask the question, if it was just about prayer, it would probably have spaced out between relational, transformational, and you know, other facets of prayer with Jesus' life, but it's abiding prayer.
Yeah.
And I suppose what's that distinctive about abiding prayer is what you called a dialogue. What about people that say, I've never heard from God? How do they get into the process of dialogue, which is actually creating space to listen?
Yeah.
And what about people that would say, well, I'm not sure I know how to listen or hear?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. So I think the first step is, as I said on Sunday, acknowledging that it's all right. In fact, it's a good place to be in, to come with a heart of like, I wanna learn.
Yeah.
I think it depends, really. Again, I want to ask people, what do you mean by you never hear from God? You know, my first question, you know, would be, you know, do you pick up your Bible? Do you read your Bible? If, you know, if the answer to that question is no, then I'll be like, well, that's one of the main reasons that you don't hear from God. But I think it ties into some of the other disciplines that we'll come to look at later around, you know, slowing down, silence and solitude.
Yeah.
It's like make it, I mean, you use the term making space, you know, to hear from God. And again, identifying, like, how do we hear from God? You know, sometimes it's just the still small voice, you know, in our heart, and following, you know, as we're praying something, leaving space to be still off the back of what we've prayed, inviting the Holy Spirit to help us reflect, you know, upon what we've just prayed, or upon what we're feeling in response to that prayer. Even beginning to examine, like, what's our body feeling, because that could be an indication that the Holy Spirit can use what we're feeling physically to speak to us about what might be going on underneath the surface. So just making space to dialogue. So when we talk about dialogue, it's not the way that you and I converse in terms of, like, it's back and forth, but it's just making space within our time with God and throughout the day to speak, and then to just be still and to listen, to follow train of thoughts, you know, to see where they might kind of lead, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So really, that this relational prayer doesn't have to be 10 minutes at the beginning of the day, does it?
I mean,
it can actually be something that you're doing all day long.
Yeah, definitely.
So did you want to talk into that a bit, about how you see that would work out practically?
Yeah, I mean, I think I use the example of, you know, the older couple walking along the road holding their hands, you know, completely together, and yet, you know, moving at a slow pace, not necessarily even saying loads to each other. So I think it looks different for everybody, and I think it's something that, you know, I said it's probably not an accident that level of intimacy takes a whole life to get to. But I think the whole kind of, you know, I pray at the start of the day, you know, so there's nothing wrong with having a prayer time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's good. I think that's a great discipline. You know, the Bible talks about different types of prayer in terms of, you know, supplications and petitions and stuff. So that's important. It's an important facet. Yeah. What I guess I'm trying to, so I'm not saying don't do that, but I guess what I'm trying to encourage people to move away from is that idea that once you've done that, you have prayed for the day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the moment that you commune. That's the moment that you meet with Jesus, and then you go off and do your own thing. It's almost like, well, Jesus, you know, wherever you do your devotional time, you know, Jesus is there in, you know, in the chair in your living room or in your bedroom or whatever. And then you kind of pack up your things and say, okay, see you later, Jesus. And you go off and do your day without really giving him kind of a thought, unless something really drastic goes wrong. You know, is that kind of idea, the difference between, you know, Miriam and I, you know, we'll be in regular, communication throughout the day through messages and stuff. But if that was the fullness of our relationship, that would be quite limiting. You know, there's no substitute for being with her, you know, for walking down the road and holding her hand. And so that picture's kind of, when we talk about prayer throughout the day, it's like, yeah, start my day with him. I'll have that really intentional, focused time. And actually, I can, throughout the day, pause, you know, speak, you know, commune with him through short prayers, just through dialogue, just through conversation.
I think
it's that thing of just, like, you know, I think I talked about it on Sunday, in terms of just sharing your heart. So I think I've got to a place where, and I've still got a long, long way to go, but where for me, sometimes it's hard to even draw the distinction between when I'm praying and when I'm not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In terms of, because my thoughts are, this will make me sound, I'm not trying to say this to make me sound super spiritual, but you find yourself in a place where your thoughts are kind of, you know, not always at all, because I'm still growing, but increasingly continually directed towards God. That you're not just kind of thinking, I'm not just thinking, I'm thinking in the presence of God. I'm not just processing, I'm processing in the presence of God. I'm not just planning, I'm planning in the presence of God. Does that make sense? It's that conscious awareness again. And again, you know, like Paul talks about, direct your heart towards Christ. And so it's like, he's with me, and he's, you know, he's there. So I don't want there to be any parts of the day where I'm going solo.
No, I like that very much. One of the things that you've said throughout this series or so far is you've mentioned how the importance of joy, and you've even asked the question, you know, Jesus is offering us the fullness of joy. Do we want that? So do you think joy is a bit of a barometer of when we're disconnected? It certainly is in my life. I know if I'm getting anxious and, you know, down or whatever, then I know I've lost my joy, and I've lost my communion. I've lost that, you know, that communion that means I need to get back on track with that abiding dialogue.
Yeah, definitely.
And my feelings can actually be negative, but there's a exchange, I can actually say, Lord, I'm feeling this way, it's rubbish. Mm. Please let me be in contact with you and receive back.
I mean, Psalm 16, which is one of my favourite psalms, you know, at the end speaks about, you know, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Mm. At your right hand there are pleasures evermore. And then we tend to use that verse and think, that's what it's going to be like in heaven. Mm. But then I think, well, actually, no, I'm in God's presence now. Like, he lives in me. Mm. And so if there is fullness of joy in his presence, well, I'm in his presence, you know what I mean? Like, my experience should be something of that fullness of joy. So I think you're right. I think that is a real barometer. Mm. If there's no rejoicing in my heart, if there's no gratitude for the gospel in my heart, it's probably because I'm not abiding in that that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, those, like you say, negative thoughts, emotions, experiences will come and crowd in all the time.
Yeah.
But often what we do is we just settle for them. Mm. We go, oh, yeah, I'm just feeling a bit rubbish and a bit naff. Mm. I think abiding through prayer, like you said, is learning how to recognize those and then direct our hearts towards Jesus and say, I'm experiencing this, I'm feeling this, but actually I know that's not my inheritance.
Yeah.
You know, so I think looking at the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you know, I know for me, you know, I can be impatient and grumpy and agitated or whatever. You know, ultimately those are, I don't experience those things when I'm enjoying the company of Jesus.
Yeah.
When I'm abiding with him in prayer, I experience those things when I move outside of that place.
Yeah.
And it's the challenge can be that it can be really easy to move outside of that place really quickly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so I've had
times
where, you know, I'm praying in the morning and feeling like I'm in this deep kind of connection time with Jesus, go downstairs, something's kicking off in the family, and immediately, like, that's all gone.
Mm.
But all that does is remind me that actually that's why it needs to be constant.
Yeah.
You know, that actually it can't just be like, oh, tick the box, I've done that, and I'll leave Jesus in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah,
no, I need him down here with
me
in the living room where it's all kicking off with the kids.
Yeah. That's brilliant. The example or the worksheet that was given out at the end was praying the Lord's Prayer, and then there was some prayer meditation. How important are these worksheets, do you think? What if I've been to the last three sermons and I haven't picked up one? I know we don't want to put any pressure on anybody. What are people missing out, do you think, if they're not engaging with the material?
If people can go away from the sermon and do something, you know, and apply to their own life, you know, take some time to really think about it, to think, yeah, I'm going to adopt this practice, you know, that's from my own experience or that I've read somewhere else or whatever, and I'm going to start to really live this out and try and grow in it, then that's great, you know, and people can totally do that. The worksheets really are there as thought prompters, example practices.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, it's almost like if you're not sure what to do next, grab one of these. This might not be the perfect place.
No.
You know, this might not end up being your constant practice, but it's going to do you good if you don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So if you kind of end the sermon and go, oh, I feel like a fresh vision that I want to abide through prayer, but how do I do that? Then my encouragement would be, yeah, grab one of those and just try some stuff. And that's why I said, you know, in the message, we're all learners, and that gives us the freedom to try. Gives us the freedom to work out what, I don't want to say method, but what way of praying helps me to connect most deeply with Jesus so that the fruit is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the joy and the peace that we've been talking about. Now, that may be different for all of us.
Mm.
So for somebody, you know, praying through the Lord's Prayer regularly might not do it. Although, if Jesus has said, pray like this,
we
can be pretty confident that's going to bear some fruit in our life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, I would say if you just don't have those regular patterns of prayer, you sit down for 10 minutes at the beginning of each day or the end of each day or both, you do that for 2 weeks, I really believe that will be fruitful for you, that you'll feel closer to the Lord and that you'll be bearing the fruit that we've been talking about.
I know that you always said that you don't want to be intense or put pressure on people. If I am struggling with, and I know I've got the prayer one, let's just say I just, as you said, it's great that we need to be taught. Jesus said we need to be taught this stuff. We don't know it instinctively.
Yeah.
Do you think that I need to be real with somebody else to actually share that? Would that help?
Yeah.
That's one of our values, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. You know, and I think just be free from shame and pressure and like comparison. You know, we said, you know, kind of week one, we're all at different stages of our discipleship journey.
Yeah.
Some of us have been Christians for you know, a long, long time. Some of us not long, some of us for a long time, but actually perhaps our expression of being a disciple has been a bit off from Jesus' heart for us. And, you know, we are all in different stages. So if you're finding it hard to access, yeah, just be honest with someone. Speak to your small group about it. You know, there's no, like, embarrassment there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we're all growing at different paces. You know, if you think of ourselves as children, you know, which is what we are, you know, and I think about my kids, and often have these conversations, you know, where you know, Joel or Josie or whatever will say, oh, you know, they're really tall, or, you know, they've got this, or they've had this many teeth come out. And, you know, the feedback is always like, yeah, but you're different. You know, you will grow.
Yeah, yeah.
You will, and that's what I'd want to say to people. Like, you know, the word is clear that God is committed to your growth.
Yeah.
You know, he's working in you for his good pleasure, you know, so you will grow. But don't worry about how your growth looks like compared to somebody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
But also don't hide away from it. And don't go, oh, it's too much for me, I can't possibly do it. No, Jesus has given you everything you need in his word and in the Holy Spirit and in the community of believers
to grow. Yeah.
But you just got to engage with other people and be real about where you're at.
Okay, well, Jeff, thank you so much.
All right,
look forward to the next one.
Yeah.
Thank you.